This sermon series takes lessons from the life of Joseph. There are many parallels between his life and the ministry of Jesus, and therefore between his life and ours as followers of Jesus. It is entitled, Finding Purpose When Life Doesn't Make Sense. This audio session is meant for your preparation only, not for any other use. Remember to add your personal illustrations and stories as you think best. Or have a look at the transcripts for suggested places for illustrations. Please remember to report back once you have preached between 4 to 6 sermons. Pastor, we are grateful and pleased that you are part of this pastor's circle and that you are going to preach for life change.
Work is worship. God calls us to see our work as both worship and a witness to Him. Our life is made up of many roles, and one of the main areas of our lives relates to our work. On average, most of us will spend around 90,000 hours at work. How did I get to that number? Well, if we work an average of 40 hours a week for 50 weeks of the year, that adds up to 2,000 hours a year. And if you work from the age of 20 to age 65, that's 45 years, it means that you are likely then to work around 90,000 hours in your lifetime. Now, as we will see, how we approach our work and our attitude towards work really matters. This is important to consider, whether you are employed by an employer, or even serving or working somewhere informally or on an unpaid basis. Maybe that's in the community or at church or in the family. Our work life is such an important part of our lives. For some, it even defines the purpose for their existence, which is another problem altogether. But for so many people, though, work is a cause of great frustration or it's viewed as a necessary evil. I even hear a lot of Christians say, well, you know, work is part of the curse. It came after the fall. No, it didn't. Work was part of God's original ordained plan in the perfection that was Eden. But many people find themselves in work situations that are just tough and were perhaps not exactly what they had envisioned. For some, every day at work is just a battle spiritually, as your beliefs are challenged and maybe even your faith ridiculed. As we explore the life of Joseph, we can be encouraged because despite all the difficult scenarios and circumstances in his life, he was still able, in every situation, to be viewed as the ideal employee. Sometimes that's difficult for me even to imagine. But you know, if it is possible for Joseph under his unique and extreme circumstances, then it is possible for us today too. It is possible and it is necessary for us to see our work as an act of worship and also as a platform for ministry in God's kingdom. Life is not always fair to God's people. We must acknowledge that we live in a fallen, sinful, and broken world. Life on this earth is just not fair. Like few other stories, Joseph's life demonstrates this principle so clearly. For a moment, why don't you consider putting yourself in Joseph's shoes? One day you're living at home and life is fairly good. You're even your dad's favorite child and enjoy all the privileges this affords you. Things aren't too great with your brothers. But there's always the hope that they'll get better. But then suddenly, after living a pretty comfortable life, literally within days, you find yourself in a foreign land. Your ears are filled with a language that you don't even understand, and you've been sold as a slave. You belong to someone else. This must have been so difficult for Joseph. Joseph is living far from home, against his will. Life is not fair. Joseph was not there where he wanted to be, and his life is in no way ideal or what he would ever have imagined it would be. This story may seem far removed from our lives today, yet for many it may actually be their reality. Far too many people find themselves in a place where their life is not what they expected it would be. Is your all that you expect? Perhaps we blame ourselves or others for what we're going through. Life is unpredictable, and the truth is that we don't really have the ability to determine the outcomes, let alone direct every aspect of our lives. There are times in life where we are simply stuck, or where we feel like our lives are spiraling out of control. Joseph found himself in this context. He was working for a boss he didn't choose, in a career he could not change, in a country not his own, and far away from any support. Yet in the midst of this unfortunate situation, God was with Joseph, and God allowed his favor to rest upon Joseph to the extent that everyone he worked for acknowledged the hand of God upon his life. They saw something different in him that they would not have seen in others. His work spoke of the goodness and character of the God he served. It would be easy for Joseph just to fall into the old family pattern of passivity, but Joseph doesn't do this. He works hard and is not lazy. Chapter 39, verse 2 says this, "The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered." The Lord was with Joseph, and it's God who caused him to prosper. This reminds me of Joshua 1:8, where it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." It's God who blesses us with success, even in difficult situations. The idea of "I'm a self-made person" just flies in the face of biblical teaching. Joseph reminds us that it's God who grants success, especially true success, in the face of unrelenting adversity. Life may not be fair, but God is always good. Secondly, we see our work as an important part of our worship and witness. God's desire is that our lives show His goodness, and that the way we work and our attitude towards work are pleasing to Him. Genesis 39:3 goes on to say, "His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did." This tells us that Potiphar recognized that it was God who made Joseph successful. Potiphar didn't believe in the same God as Joseph. Egypt had all sorts of their own gods and goddesses. Even Pharaoh was viewed as a god by the people. It's doubtful that Potiphar had even heard about Joseph's God. But he watches Joseph and he says, "There's something different about this guy, and there's some connection between the way he works and what he believes." And even though we don't know how far down the road Potiphar is with this insight, you get the idea that his mind is opening. Today we would call somebody like this a seeker. And who would have ever thought he'd be a seeker as a result of what he's learning from a slave? Masters are not supposed to learn from slaves, but that's what appears to be happening in the story. Verse 4 says, "Joseph found favor in Potiphar's eyes and became his attendant." Joseph finds himself in a position of great trust, and it's something that wouldn't normally be given to a slave. But that's how much Joseph won the respect of his master, because God wants to draw everyone to himself. It is important for us to see our work as an opportunity to witness. Do people see our faith in what we do at work and the way we work? In fact, our faith ought to make us the most loyal, most hardworking employee in our workplace. And that again is a form of worship and witness. Genesis 39:5 says, "From the time that Potiphar put Joseph in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph." The blessings of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. What it's really saying is Potiphar trusted Joseph with everything that he owned. This is again a very unusual master-slave relationship. And the verse goes on and says, "Potiphar seems to acknowledge that because Joseph is working for me, my life is different." Now don't fall into the trap of thinking that God is always going to give to everyone who follows him health and wealth and the absence of struggles. Joseph's life certainly argues against that. But there is something persuasive that says even an unbeliever who has a Christ follower working for him ought to, at the end of the day, say, "This person is a blessing to me. I don't buy all her beliefs. I don't buy into their whole value system. But you know what? I'm glad she's on our team. I'm glad he works for us." The Lord blessed Potiphar because of Joseph. So Potiphar left Joseph in charge of everything. In fact, he didn't concern himself with anything except what he was going to eat. Joseph made it so Potiphar didn't have to worry about anything. What an amazing work ethic. What a wonderful way to worship God and be a witness. We know from the story of Joseph that this didn't last forever, thanks to Potiphar's wife. Before long, the ideal employee finds himself in a non-ideal position, prison. How does this change in status and employment affect Joseph's worship and witness? The amazing thing is how little Joseph changes as he moves from being the ideal employee. Here he is now, he's a prisoner. If that was me, I could see myself just sitting in the corner saying, "Is this the reward I get? That's how God rewards faithfulness. This isn't working. Maybe it's not even worth it." Now, I guess Joseph probably had some of those thoughts because he's very human and he lives life with great passion. He feels things deeply, as we'll discover during this whole series. But Joseph somehow is able to fight through all that. Pick up the story a little later in Genesis 39:20. It says, "But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him and showed him kindness." While he was there in prison, the Lord was with him and shown him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the warden. The parallel of this in Potiphar is almost uncanny. It's almost a repeat of what happened when he was under Potiphar's authority. And here now he gets favor in the eyes of the warden. Interesting, isn't it, that favor is the root of the word favorite. So here, what got him sent to Egypt in the first place, what got him betrayed was the fact that he was his dad's favorite. Well, he was also the favorite of the slaves. That's why he became Potiphar's attendant. And now here again, God shows him favor. And so it's not just the father who is playing favorites with his son. It's God saying, "Joseph, I'm going to lift you up and I'm going to give you great authority. You're not ready for it yet, so you've got to go through this character refining process. But Joseph, I've got big plans for you." Genesis 39:22 says, "So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison. He made him responsible for everything that was done there. He was in charge of both the prisoners and the procedures." This reminds me of Luke 16:10 that says, "He was faithful with a small thing, can be trusted with much." Joseph proved time and again that he was able to be faithful in adverse conditions, which earned him the favor of God. Whenever he had a job to do, he did it well. Can we say that this is true of our own career or our own situation? What a challenge to us. Thirdly, we see that God rewards our faithful work. The life of Joseph reminds us to always strive for faithfulness. If somebody takes the opportunities and responsibilities that they're given and performs them well, then that's the best predictor of future success. When even greater responsibility is handed out, he who is faithful with a small thing, count on it, they'll be faithful with much. This is an important life principle that Joseph displays. God even says that's going to apply in eternity, that what we do with small things he's entrusted to us on earth, that's what's going to determine what our role is going to be for all eternity. Genesis 39:23 says, "The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care." That's quite a statement. It basically means that because Joseph was so good at his job, the warden didn't have to worry about anything. Are we working in this way? Do our employers have this kind of faith in our service? Our faith should make us aim to be loyal, even in hostile environments. We should not allow circumstances to define our attitude. Instead, Joseph aligned his attitude with the nature of God and his goodness, even in the small everyday decisions. Trusting God with our lives releases us from the bondage that our bad attitude can bring. Joseph was willing to live with the reality that life is not fair and it didn't taint his perception of God. Just because we experience obstacles, challenges, or adversity, it doesn't always mean that God has abandoned us or that we're not walking in line with his will. Life is unfair. Our focus should be on our next step of obedience with God rather than on how we get back in favor with God. God's goodness extends to us regardless of our context, as God is able to use any situation for good. C.S. Lewis once said, "Why does God allow so much injustice in this world? To make us hungry for heaven." Because if this were heaven on earth, then who needs heaven in heaven? And so trials that we all go through are part of what makes us yearn to be in the presence of God someday. And the challenges that we go through are there for our own good as they refine us. Joseph was treated unfairly because life isn't fair. But his life teaches us that the way we live our lives and the way we work should not be based on our circumstances, but rather on God's character. The goodness of God should encourage us to press into every circumstance and be forward-looking with every good faith that God is able to lift us up in due course. Like Joseph, we can make a conscious choice to focus more on present opportunities than past disappointments. And like Joseph, we can conduct our work so that it's a form of both worship and witness to our God.